Welcome to A Toxic Talk Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live. Go through the highways and the byways, beckon those who would like to live toxin-free, and tell them about our get-together right here today at the Radio Backyard Fence. We will be joined by my toxic life coach, Miss Toxin Free 2012, voted by our graduating class at the University of Virginia as most likely to live on the side of a mountain with a goat, Andrea Fabry. Today, it is all about what you eat and how much you eat on Thanksgiving Day. The topic today is better food, better mood. In fact, when I mentioned this topic last Friday on the program, we had a caller from Alaska. Hi, Alicia. She even called just before the program today. She said that as I was talking about better food, better mood, at 11 a.m. Alaska time, she was eating a piece of cake. And then she called today to talk about the headache that she had later on in the afternoon, and she's going to be glued to her radio today. We are not here to spoil your Thanksgiving Day celebration. We are actually going to try to make it better, not bitter, better. And here's how you get involved. We'll be taking your calls today at 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. You'll find all the contact information, how you can get a hold of us on Facebook and Twitter at chrisfabrylive.org. chrisfabrylive.org. Fabry is five letters. F-A-B is in fab. F-A-B-R-Y. chrisfabrylive.org. Trisha McMillan's our producer today. Lee Rugen is making us sound as good as he possibly can and better than we deserve. Elizabeth Asaturo is answering your calls at that toll-free number. And here she is, the poster child for wives who wish they knew what there was going on in their husband's brain. Lovely and talented, Andrea Fabry. Andrea,
thank you.
Welcome.
You sure you don't want to switch topics back to that one?
Oh, if you only knew. You know, we could go back to the wedding on Saturday when you leaned across and said something to me. You said something to the kids and I said something and...
We had a little argument. Did you want to go? But we all ate well before the wedding.
That wasn't the mood,
I don't think
it
was. It's not always true. What we're going to talk about is not 100% true all of the time.
Yes.
But we resolved that.
So let's first of all talk about how you're not here to spoil Thanksgiving. A lot of people are.
Yes, I am. Absolutely.
No,
I am not. I feel like I come to this program bearing good news.
Mm. And what is that?
That what you eat and how much you eat will impact your mood, and you, despite the fact that you can't control anybody else,
mm-hmm.
you can have an impact on what you eat that day and how much of it, and in the end, will make for a better day. It's a learning process. It takes time to change some of our patterns, but there's a lot of hope.
Yes, but this is a really big day, and I go back in our own family and I think about what we did and when I was a child and how, you know,
it's all about the food.
It is. Especially, you know, in Christian circles when you think about the potluck, you know, it's all about I got to get grandma's this and the rolls and the
when you think back hundreds of years, well, let's think back to the first Thanksgiving and from then on. You know, those were not the industrially produced foods that we have today. It was a very different, a whole different meal than it is now. And I don't think our bodies really can handle it being all about the food at this point, given what we are eating. But there's nothing wrong with a feast and enjoying variety.
It's biblical, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, I love that metaphor of the feast in the Bible, and the, especially the wedding feast, when you think of this marriage supper of the Lamb, and there is enjoyment there, and there is wine there, you know, at the feast.
Fermented food, we're going to get to that. You know, and it was interesting, I think, this year that our youngest boys, you know, I am so excited for Thanksgiving, you know, and that actually makes me choke up, because... Originally, when we made these huge radical changes, you know, it felt like you were keeping them from what they deserve, these poor kids. And now that they understand, you know, and have adjusted their taste, like, there is so much good food that can be created and made in the kitchen. And they're so excited because we just saved some things for Thanksgiving.
So tell people then, tell our dear listener here who's listening who, and doesn't know what you mean by making these changes. On your Thanksgiving table, on ours, we're not going to have rolls. We're not the traditional bread rolls. We're not going to have stuffing along with...
Well, it's starting to sound depressing.
I know. It's just taking all the fun.
But again, this is where we needed to be, and that's a long story, and everyone's different, and you make slow changes, and... It's not. We did move away from heavy starches and pretty much all sugar. So what do you? And I remember the first Thanksgiving we were doing this. We invited some people over and gave them fair warning too.
Yes.
You know that this is not going to be your traditional. But the good news about that is, I remember one of the moms called me the next day, Dawn, and she said, "I got to tell you, Andrea." When my daughter came home, she said she's never felt, she has a beautiful Texas accent.
Yeah.
She has never felt that good. And so I just, you know, again, she said, I didn't feel full. Hmm. I felt good the next day when
no,
I woke
she did
up.
Feel full. She didn't
but
feel
not
stuffed.
The, yeah. yeah, exactly.
Well, but I'm thinking of those who are saying, you know, if we make these radical changes or just some change where we're pulling something back, you think, well, I'm depriving myself. But the truth is, mentally, when you get to where our kids are, you know, 11-year-old and a 13-year-old boy who say, I'm looking forward to the
we're having
what?
Red potatoes for breakfast. We make ice cream there. If we do that, because there's some, you know, we're deciding what to have and we make these crustless pumpkin pies. It's really fun. But the it's just learning, you know, what is good for us? And the bottom line is real food that God created and taking that and, you know, it's really fun. And that is the good news. But what we don't know many times and don't understand is the science behind what is going on to our immune system when we eat a lot of refined and processed foods.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. There is an article on your website, momsaware.org, that starts out this way. Ever wonder why Jimmy's bouncing off the walls after a holiday meal? Or Uncle Henry is more argumentative than ever? How about those underlying conflicts that seem to escalate during the holiday season? If you go, I think it's linked at the website. If you go there, you will see a picture of Uncle Henry and
little Jimmy.
And I get to play the part of Uncle Henry. And little Jimmy is our youngest son, Brandon. And if you look very closely at the picture, we're playing chess, okay? And there's this cornucopia thing behind us, you know, with all the different squash and that kind of stuff. You will see how you beat someone in chess in three moves. It's a pawn, the bishop, and the queen in three. If you move correctly, you can win a chess match in three moves. So you'll see what the board looks like there by doing that. If you go to chrisfabrylive.org and then click on through, we're going to talk about five
ways to de-stress your holiday through healthier food choices.
All right. And Andrea Fabry is going to lead us through this on a Toxic Tuesday here on Chris Fabry Live. Stay tuned.
Join the conversation. Call Chris Fabry Live now at 877-LIVE-675, 877-548-3675.
We're talking on this Toxic Tuesday with Andrea Fabry, founder of Moms Aware, an organization dedicated to raising awareness about health and our environment. She's the mother of nine, the husband of one, former co-host of Midday.
I'm the wife of one.
What did I say?
Husband of one.
Okay, mark and edit there, Lee. She is the wife of one, the mother of nine. And this program's all about me, you see. Former co-host of Midday Connection many moons ago, former award-winning co-host, and now co-host of Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman. You can hear that on the weekend. You can find out more about her at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. You can click under her smiling visage, click on the website for Moms Aware, and then you go down and you'll see the picture where it says Better Food, Better Mood. You got Uncle Henry and little Jimmy. There we are, right in front of the squash and all that. All right, so why, big question, why should we listen to you, Andrea? I mean, you got nine kids, you got one husband, 30 years experience.
I don't know why you should. Well, I come at this wearing four different hats, and so here's what I would say to the listener who says, why in the world would I want to listen to you? One is, I'm Chris Fabry's wife. I feel like that, well, maybe not that one, but the other three are life experience and understanding, you know, a lot of people come give information because of their experience. What we've learned the hard way.
More than half a century of eating.
Yes, and only in the last 5 years have I really altered that. Mm-hmm. I definitely had some set patterns there. The third reason is that, and these aren't reasons to listen. I'm really not answering that. I'm just saying where I'm coming from, and then you can decide. But I am a former journalist, and one thing I learned in radio news is you don't offer what you think. This is idealized journalism here. You just report the facts. So I'm very used to, I'm very comfortable reading articles that go against what I tend to think, but I like to get all the information and then hopefully present it in a way that's not threatening and not heightened. What's the word I'm looking for? Alarmist. And then the fourth thing to think about, or at least I think about, is I do have opinions. And so I try and be clear that sometimes this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're here. Let's start out with pulling back from sugar. Now, this is going to be one of those things. What does sugar do to us?
To the body. And remember, it's only in recent years that we've had access to this much sugar. I mean, food.
I don't know. I had an awful lot of access when I was little. You should see the pictures.
Well, I'm talking about in the last 100 years.
Oh, okay.
It used to be the wealthy had access to refined sugar. Mm-hmm. That was very, you know, not available. And it normally naturally occurring, it's in food and you have it in its whole form. Mm-hmm. And now this
like
is
like in fruit and it just occurs.
Squash is very sweet. Yeah. So now it's mass marketed. It's in everything at high levels. And just that alone, intuitively, you have to think, you know, is the body really meant for that? And what it does, honestly, in these forms is it disrupts the whole chemistry there. It's also like what we witnessed this morning with the water kefir I was making. I had put this big glass jar on some molasses that I used to make it and some water, and it's the jar stuck to the shelf, and I thought it was permanently stuck. Of course, it wasn't. The issue there is the glycation. When sugar and water mix, it gets very sticky. So if you eat that, and there's a lot of moisture in our bodies, it's sticky, so it can disrupt a lot of the messages. So that makes sense too.
Yes.
But the other issue is, am I losing you?
No, I'm just thinking of like with soda, you know, the different sodas that they say you can put a bone in the soda and over time it'll just eat the bone away. If it does that to a bone, what's it going to do to your stomach, you know, as it goes through there? So intuitively you kind of know this, but it tastes so good you don't think about it. You don't want to think about it.
And here's why I don't think it's an issue of willpower necessarily. It's like, what's wrong with me? I keep going for it. There is a chemical reaction and it involves something similar as the drug heroin, and that is opiates. We have naturally occurring opiates, pleasure centers in the brain, and we release these exogenous opiates. I'm really not a scientist, but I have studied this, and it triggers this feeling good. High amounts of sugar will do that, and then there's this drop after, and then what do we want to do? We need to eat more. So there's a cycle that I think a lot of people feel like, it's just my fault. It's like, well, the body is doing what it does. We just need to send it new messages.
Why is it so hard to stop, though? I mean, if we know
because there's an addictive. That's you know, the question for anything, for any drug or alcohol. It's very hard to stop when there's that addictive pattern. This is just more pervasive and it's more subtle. It's not obvious, but when you do know that, it can help you fight it.
Push away.
Yeah, well,
push
fight
back.
It.
Push back from the table, friend. Here's what Andrea writes in her article. She says, though sugar doesn't actually contain opiates like heroin, it affects us in very much the same way because it makes us release our own endogenous opiates. Now, you said exogenous.
Did I say?
You said exogenous.
I'm so sorry. Endogenous. Thank you for that.
Endogenous.
Oh, dear. Thank you.
So it's like, is this kind of like serotonin? Is that the same type of thing? Because when we take a deep breath and we let it out, we are...
I think they're different in that you're stimulating something that you really don't want to stimulate. With serotonin, we really do want serotonin.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What we've learned in the last even just 50 years, which is just so amazing, that 90% of our serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter that makes us happy, and a lot of antidepressants are based on this fact, 90% of that is in the gut lining. So again, intuitively, if most of the serotonin is there, and we know it is because the reverse is true, when you are in digestive turmoil, mm-hmm. it's very uncomfortable and you're not happy. So, I mean, how can you be? So we know that. And the same is true then with serotonin and the happiness. It's very much related to then what we eat and what the environment is in there and how do we produce more serotonin. Those are all just good questions to ask. So then we start to get the connection then between our mood and our food.
Mm. So, by the way, I got my serotonin at Just Serotonin. And they're having a Black Friday
serotonin
sale.
Mart, yeah.
Although some people are there protesting the night before. We're not going to get into that. You have 5 ways to de-stress your holidays by eating healthier.
Healthier. Again, we're talking about 2 days before Thanksgiving, so I'm not here to say...
People have already bought the turkey.
Yes, and that's okay. Fine. Yeah. These kind of changes, honestly, to our diet are best taken slowly in increments anyway. And I know there's probably not one person listening who's not thinking, mm-mm. I want to eat better. I just don't know how to do it. And every time I try, I feel like I fail.
Well, and here's the other thing. They think, okay, I got Thanksgiving coming up 2 days. I got Christmas coming
up. I'll
got
start,
the cookies.
Yeah.
I got all of the fruitcake that's coming and the fudge. And it's just this...
sugar.
It's just really
it's so overwhelming.
Candy canes on the tree. And so you say, okay, January, I'll start it when the ads come out with the treadmills and the stuff.
And I completely get that. And in some ways, I would feel that way as the mother of my family. I'd think, it's coming, kids. We're going to be making some changes. You know, and I kind of got through until then. And that's what this season can be. It's like, okay, we don't have to change everything right now, but I do want to suggest some ways to get through the holidays.
Let's do that then. All right. 5 ways. Run. Go. Tell us. What do I do?
The first suggestion is based on the 80-20 principle. I think his name was Pareto. He's an Italian. He discovered in the early 1900s that 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the people. This 80-20 rule is so fascinating how it shows up. Now, if you apply that to eating, if you can just eat, and you can't really calculate this, but the general idea is eat until you're 80% full. And that can be good food or not so good food. Think of it that way, that you're doing your body a huge favor simply by eating very slowly and then intuitively saying, you know what? I'm not going to worry so much about what I'm eating, but I'm not going to eat until I'm just so full that I just don't function. Well, we know what that, everybody knows that feeling well.
Yes.
And so this is a great time. I feel like holidays, if this is all that you try to do is just this, I'm going to sit there and everyone else may do something different, but I'm going to eat
less. Okay. So when you see, as a kid, I used to love the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes with that, you know, the butter in the middle of it. And then I'd love to get corn and mix it with the mashed potatoes. And then, you know, you'd drive the truck around and you'd get all the stuffing and you'd get then the cranberry sausage. You got this plate that is just heaping full. And, I got to go back later on to get this and that, the other thing. So you're saying, go ahead and eat what you want.
Yeah.
Just take less of it.
Try it.
Okay.
Just try it. And don't feel, this may or may not work this Thanksgiving. That's okay. But just knowing that you're helping your body, just your digestive system is so intricately woven and created. It's just burdened by that much. Mm. So let it do its job for you and you're going to feel better.
Can we jump down to the fermented food there?
Because
this is one of the things that you've been preaching to our kids You know, and it is all about this help your body help itself.
Pre-digested food. If we're discussing our digestive system.
That sounds really nasty.
It does, really, doesn't it?
Sounds like
it?
A bird.
Okay, let's think of it this way then. Yes, you're facilitating this whole process ahead of time by, okay. This topic is my favorite, so I don't even know where to begin.
She's
going to
get choked up here, I can tell.
Again, this is a very positive thing to understand. If you change nothing else, but you add a properly fermented cultured food to your meal, you are helping your body so much. And the science behind this is based on the fact that we have one part human cell and 10 parts microbes. Bacteria and yeast in our digestive system and in our body.
And when we take a lot of medicine, medication, sometimes that will wipe that out.
It takes care of everything, the bad and the good. So this is where the probiotic comes from, you know, pro-life, giving the life back. Well, what our systems are designed for is to have a good, solid supply of healthy bacteria and yeast. So when you understand how to ferment food, and this is what we've known for generations and generations. This sauerkraut goes back hundreds and hundreds of years before refrigeration as a way to preserve food. But they discovered, this is keeping people alive on the boats with vitamin C and so forth. So when you add something, back to the bacteria issue, then what you're doing is you've got this little science experiment and you're creating this petri dish of good bacteria. So we're all made up of both good and bad. And yes, sometimes we've had some antibiotics that might tip the scale. There's all sorts of things that tip the scale there where the bad kind of are winning out. This is adding the, you know, if you think of it as a war, the good guys back in to fight for your immune system. Most of our immune system is in our gut lining. So learning how to kind of get your petri dish of food and then eat it with a meal goes so far.
So you're saying that this of fermented food like sauerkraut or would kimchi,
yogurt.
Some of those types of things, if you add it, it will aid in your digestive system so it's not working as hard as it would.
The word kefir means in Turkish, it means feel good.
Hmm.
And again, you're introducing all those good bacteria and yeast and you're going to feel better. So even if if you don't change anything, but you in a health food stores will have properly prepared fermented foods. You don't want something that's been heated because that's killing off those good bacteria. It's what heat does.
So you've included cultured cranberry chutney, water kefir, sauerkraut, and more. And there are some links there.
Yes, there's a wonderful cultured foods into your holiday meal. I know it may sound daunting, but honestly, just a little bit of that added is just. It goes a long way.
And I've been surprised at how much the kids have, you know, if you think of sauerkraut and kids aren't going to touch, you know, put some sauerkraut on that turkey there, Jimmy. He's not going to do that. But the kids have caught on to that.
They love, and the drinks and the water kefir is fizzy. Kids love carbonation. And if it's a new form of ferment for you, then you can add some fruit juice to kind of make it a little sweeter or do something else. But the bottom line is it is a fermented food and they really do love it. And if our kids could get off sugar, anybody's kids, you know, I mean, we were that was our way of living.
So. All right. So probably not going to hear that anyplace else. We've talked about fermented food, gut bacteria. We've talked about eating less. What about, you say, try a healthier appetizer. What are you talking about there?
Again, if you're thinking about trying to avoid overeating, then the appetizer is always big. And if you can, say, just have some raw vegetables there and have a fresh yogurt dip, and there's nothing wrong. I like to make my own yogurt because I like to know how long it's fermented. I like that. Mm-hmm. I was very overwhelmed for a couple years on that one. So there are some healthier yogurts out there. You just want to be sure that it says live cultures. And if you can get it without sugar, that'd be very helpful. And then if you add some spices and herbs that you like, it makes a great dip. So that's a little way to to kind of get the digestive system going in the right direction.
Because most of this salad dressing that you'll buy has a lot of the sugar. It's high fructose
corn syrup.
So eat less. Try a healthier appetizer before the meal that the kids are coming in. They'll enjoy it. They'll hear themselves cracking those carrot sticks and all of that celery. Add a fermented food. There's two more to go. And then we want to take your calls at 877-548-3675. Yes, we will talk about dessert. 1-877-548-3675. If you go to the website today, chrisfabrylive.org, we have a link right under Andrea's picture to Moms Aware. You can visit the website there, and then about halfway down on that webpage, you will see the picture of little Jimmy and Uncle Henry, played by yours truly with the Cincinnati Reds hat. You'll see the picture of the chessboard with the three moves that you can make to win a chess match, and actually four moves. Better food, better mood today on Chris Fabry Live. I have really been looking forward to this week's programs here on Chris Fabry Live. Thanks a lot for joining us for a Toxic Tuesday. I always seem to relax. I feel like I'm in better voice when Andrea comes along, just a little bit more relaxed. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the first Thanksgiving, some misnomers about Thanksgivings through history. We're going to talk with Elsie on Thanksgiving Day. Elsie Young is going to be here to talk about 100 Thanksgivings and beyond. And Max Lucado is on with us on Friday, so it's a real big week. Of course, always having Andrea Fabry here to talk about lacto-fermented foods is probably the highlight. We've gone through three of these five ways to de-stress your holidays with healthier food choices. You can find them linked at chrisfabrylive.org under Andrea's picture. Click on Moms Aware, and down you'll see the picture of Uncle Henry and Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
So under Eat, try a healthy appetizer, add fermented foods. Number three.
Consider a lower starch alternative. I understand the mashed potatoes and all that, but we make mashed cauliflower now, and this would be something maybe you could try and add as an option. It's amazing how similar that tastes to mashed potatoes, and some people can handle potatoes just fine. This is all about what works for you. For us, the heavy starches where we were at health-wise, why we took them out. So depends on where you're at, but lower starch, though, let's face it, starch is a complex sugar. Sugar is a simple form of that. So given enough time and sitting there long enough in the digestive system, it's going to act like a sugar, and too much sugar is what we're talking about, really taxes the body in so many ways. So that could be overwhelming, or again, that could be good news. Oh, I never thought of mashed cauliflower.
I have to tell you, when we went to the grocery store last night, the fellow who was putting out the stuff, I said, I don't see cauliflower in here. Oh, it's in the back. I'll go get it for you. I'd say he's maybe 30, 35. He came back and I said, I'll take, I got four of them. Oh, he goes, are you making mashed cauliflower? And I said, yeah, we're going to do that for Thanksgiving. I love that.
Really?
I love it. And you know what it is? It looks a lot
like it.
Mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And, here's the other thing. You've got some stuff that you put in about how you make it and the butter that you can use, or the ghee or the coconut oil and all of that. You don't say take all your butter out of your diet.
Well, that's an interesting.
Is that another program?
That might be.
December?
December, we're discussing toxic relationships.
Yeah, we got to get
Jan Silver.
Okay, let's not do the butter thing, okay. But
good healthy fats really do help the brain. I'll say that.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why I am the way I am. All right, and the fifth pointer
thing
then
is experiment with a healthier dessert. So again, you don't have to cut out all the desserts. I remember our first Thanksgiving with this format, if you will, we invited our neighbors and we bought just a regular store-bought apple pie for them. It just didn't seem quite fair because we really wanted to have them. The other people who came knew and were excited to come, and that's great. So what I suggest is having two options if this is just such a stretch, because there are so many things you can do with winter squash, fruit, coconut flour is amazing.
Yeah, the kids make...
They make squash muffins and they make all sorts of things.
That's why they're so excited about this.
Brandon made chocolate chip cookies last week. I couldn't believe it. They looked great. And they tasted great. He made it. I don't know how he did it, but he is determined to use coconut flour in anything he can. And they all loved it.
I saw this on Yahoo today. It was Americans are estimated to consume anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 calories at the average Thanksgiving meal. The biggest calorie bomb is pecan pie. Hmm. It has an individual slice is about 503 calories compared with pumpkin pie, 316 and 411 for apple pie. And then you add the ice cream or the dollop of whatever on top of that, and then you have
that's
more
a
calories.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah, and so you're saying do something just a little bit different.
Yes, still... and maybe, it's 2 days. I understand that. So I would suggest something with fruit. There's so many great sites online. Yeah, I just can't believe how many people are returning to traditional foods and then offering these incredible recipes with pictures, and it's very inspiring.
And it's a little more work. You'll be.
It can be. Well, it can be though. I was watching Brandon make those cookies. That's not any harder than regular because you have the flour. Once you have the flour and you have the eggs and the butter, you can pretty much create anything. The question is, what do you use for flour? And there's almond flour. There's different ones.
Yeah. Well, maybe you have a tip too on how you are going to go into this with a better food, better mood idea. That's what we're talking about today on Toxic Talk Tuesday, 877-548-3675. Let's go to the state of Washington and Omak, Washington. Bethany's on the line. Hi, Bethany. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bethany.
Bethany, we can't hear you for some reason, and I don't know why that is.
Let's can you hear me now?
Lee, are we not able to make contact with Bethany today?
Hello?
There she is.
Oh, hello?
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. Hi, Bethany.
Okay, hi. I have two questions, actually. The first one, you talked about fermented food, and I've done some fermenting, but there was a lot of hubbub this spring online on some of the natural food blogs about what you should be fermenting in. And I'm wondering if you recommend any particular vessel for doing home ferments.
I am totally aware of that. That was fun, wasn't it? So what have you fermented?
I have done sauerkraut, and I did some pickles this year, and then I have water kefir going all the time.
So do you? Oh, isn't that great? Now, see, for the water kefir, we do fine with just a cloth and a rubber band over it. Do you?
I have actually started, I screw a metal canning jar lid on it, and I feel like I get better growth from my grains when I have it like that versus just open.
So here's my take on it. There you go. Well, there you just answered. You figure it out what works for you, because remember, you're looking at your home environment. You're looking at your grains. You're
humidity,
looking at your recipe. There's
stuff,
so many. This is a science and an art both. And this is what I love so much about fermenting. It's so creative. And I just feel like a little scientist in there. So for the water kefir, it sounds like you're doing great. For vegetable ferments, honestly, I do recommend. And I have noticed, again, we were going for strong healing food. I've noticed it's stronger in the right direction when I use an airlock of some sort. I also have a big harsh crock. And what those do, for those who don't know, those are just clay vessels. This is what they used centuries ago. Very natural. And I just do 8 heads of cabbage, do my, thing where I add the salt and all that.
This is like a huge,
very heavy, very
water
awkward
jar type of thing.
It's the clay, and then you see it's got a rim around it to put water. The point is to create an anaerobic environment when you ferment. Some fruits and then the kefirs and the dairy ferments are more forgiving, if you will. You can not have everything so sealed and so tight. I just have found, and I don't know about you, Bethany, but with the vegetable ferments, they do better with the airlock or some type of fermenting vessel.
Okay. And then my second question, I recently read a book called The Mood Cure. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And then I've also been reading some vegetarian books. And The Mood Cure recommends eating pretty high amounts of protein and says most Americans aren't eating enough, and that's part of why we struggle with depression and things like that. And then the vegetarian books sort of say the opposite, that most Americans eat too much protein and that one protein-focused meal per day is fine. And I guess I'm just kind of wondering, with all your research,
your head will spin, won't it?
Yeah, don't drink coffee.
And well, here's what I've come to, Bethany, and take this or leave this. I feel like everybody's body is different, number one. And when you really learn what works for you, that's how you kind of go. The other thing is I don't go the vegan route for me and my family. I'm a mother with growing children, and I just couldn't take all that out. I just didn't. I had a gut feeling, and then the more I studied, the better I felt about it. I am very, very careful about food, meat sources and egg sources and dairy sources. I don't want any of that, those pesticides and all that in there. And so we talk to our farmers and so forth. So when it comes to these diets, and there's so much truth in all of it, your head does spin. But nobody, I haven't read one health book that says eat as much refined food as you can get your hands on.
Yeah.
Go for the sugar. Go for the refined sugar. Eat as much as you possibly can and see what happens. They're all on the same page.
I'm still looking for that book, by the way.
do you know what I'm saying by that, Bethany?
Yeah.
It's like we're kind of coaching the gold medalist. You know, you're refining things on the balance beam. I look at them and go, what is there to coach? They're all so good. And eating real good quality food just has to be good. Understanding what balance works for you, you know, I think it's kind of a journey.
Okay.
Glad you called, Bethany. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that. Oh, I'm so glad for that ferment question.
Thank you. Bye.
She is beaming. Yep. She is beaming because of Bethany's question about ferments, and more of your calls straight ahead here on Chris Fabry Live.
Have a comment about the program today? Call 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-LIVE-675.
It's a Toxic Talk Tuesday here on Chris Fabry Live. I got a Facebook message from one of my friends that says, thank you, Chris, for bringing on Andrea. I am now on her website. I love it. I am watching Brandon cooking right now. I am so inspired. You've taken videos, too, of the kids.
Brandon was cooking a salmon stir fry. Watching Brandon. He's 11. And Colin is almost 13, and then we have up to 27. So variety of ages. So we have addressed the whole teenage things. But Brandon is the one who just creates meals for himself.
His breakfast on Saturday, it was like he had three or four different things going at one time.
He uses the whole stove.
Yeah, I'm saying, can you just go eat this? You know, give somebody else a chance.
That.
He loves the color. He loves, you know, I could just.
But this is from a kid who was bouncing off the walls. This makes me cry because teachers couldn't handle him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just, you know, good things can happen. And I did feel like, what am I doing to my kids? Until I really thought about that, you know, and studied it for myself so I could speak in knowledge to them. Not like, well, I really think we should eat better, kids. Like, well, I don't really know why. I found out why. And then I just said to them, listen, this is our medicine, you know, so let's try this. And I look at Brandon today and it's pretty amazing.
It's stark. Yeah. The snacks were hard. Fruit roll-ups.
Snacks,
you know?
We have a website called Rejuvenating Recipes and a little poll there of what people want recipes for. Snacks is always number one.
Yeah. It's number
because
one.
That's, again, we're used to feeding that sugar craving and we need to eat more often that way. I mean, that's what you need to. So snacking in kids, they're used to those high sugar snacks. And the good news is that's probably the first thing I did work on. Like I had to create alternatives. It wasn't like, well, we can't eat any of that. It's like, well, let's try this.
Let's go to Ann, who's in Illinois. Hi, Ann. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for your show today. I just want to reiterate what you're saying, that God has just totally changed my life just by changing my diet. It was just miraculous what he's done. And I've just started, like, dabbling in fermentation. And so I started with the kefir grains, and I love it, and I just started doing it. But I'm wondering, I do change the water every 3 days, and so I'm going away for the holidays, for Thanksgiving, and I'll be gone for 6 days. So could you give me some tips to how I can keep my grains alive while I'm gone?
Well, I have news. I leave them a couple weeks.
Oh,
but
really?
They're so strong. And see, to me, this is such a picture of what they do to our immune system. These are so strong. And it's very hard to kill kefir grains. It's very hard.
We tried.
Especially those water ones. Those are so great. But the science, or the real explanation there, is if you want to, you create a 3% sugar solution. I haven't done this because I just get so many, and then they sit, and then I just try and pass them along. I've sent them in the mail in hot weather to the other side of the country, and they survive and multiply. But if you're going to be gone for 6 days, you could just make a little sugar solution, and then in the refrigerator, they should just kind of stay where they're at. But that's a great sign that they're multiplying.
Yeah, so put the same amount of sugar in, maybe, or more sugar because
3%. 3% is probably a little bit less. In other words, you don't need too much. You know, you could try storing them in water, but you can add a little sugar because sugar feeds the bacteria.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Ann. Have fun.
Yeah, you could have somebody, you know, come in and check on them, I guess.
Can you babysit my grains?
Could you look at my kefir grains? This would be good for me because I used to watch animals for people, and they'd always die when they go on vacation.
And I assure you that it's true. He would. He
and
has so many pet stories.
I would do my
when we were
level
students.
Best.
Yes, students at Moody Bible Institute.
I was
Institute.
So conscientious.
Everybody asked him, but then they stopped
their
asking
fish
him.
Fish died, and their birds got.
And we noticed that it dried up. He wasn't being asked to.
And I'm glad you got me on that, because that's going to be fun on Thanksgiving to talk about that. Kelly is in Florida. Hey, Kelly in Boynton Beach.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hi, Kelly.
Oh, how are you? God bless you, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling, basically, I know God is the healer, but we just run into obstacles with my son's health because he's really not growing as he should, and we found out, I've been to holistic doctors and found out the gluten sensitivity can really stop the growth. So I have him off of gluten and I'm doing dairy, off of dairy. But is there a certain line of vitamins you use, a line of, you know, do you do juicing? What do you think we had lab work done and his hormones, everything are coming back fine, like he should grow, but he had to be on a lot of prednisone in the past. But if there's any, from all your knowledge, anything you think is
this would be speaking out of opinion and experience, because I won't take a stab medically. I don't, obviously, I'm not qualified. I just want to say that you're a good mom and you're listening.
Thank you for that. God bless you.
You know, you're listening and you're seeking to get to the bottom of it. And I just want to reassure you that you're going to find out what you need to find out, because you're asking the questions, and I just relate to that. So I don't have any miracle suggestion as far as growth. Mm-hmm. I just know that our bodies are made to grow. Kids' bodies are made to grow. And so nourishing them as opposed to putting burdens on their body will help them grow. And I think that's the track that you're on. And I can also tell you, it takes a while. You know, we didn't see any immediate results in anything, frankly. And that's okay. It's a faith journey in a way. You know, I really did believe that I couldn't lose to introduce very nutrient-dense foods for my kids. And of course, fermenting them just multiplies the vitamins, the amino acids, everything, the enzymes. It just...
Here's the thing, though, too. With those fermented foods that you talked about, let's say sauerkraut, some of the kids immediately latched onto it, were fine with it. Other kids, because of the past, reacted to it.
Too strong. So, you know, I don't know this would be the case for you, but we had a the toxic exposure. So we were just overgrown with bad fungus and yeast. So introducing the really strong good stuff would just created this, you know, healing reaction. So it was really strong. So if someone has health issues and they introduce fermented foods and you have this reaction, you can think, well, this is terrible for me. I would back it up to a spoonful. Like, you start small with some of this, just like you would medicine. You know, you kind of titrate up when you're introducing something. It's the same thing. This is medicine, and you listen to your body.
She's asking the questions, but she's also listening.
She's listening, exactly.
And talking with her son and interacting with him. And keeping, you know, I've heard this too from a guest recently, keep a journal of how your kids respond, or if you have one that you're really watching, how they respond to certain foods, how they respond to certain things. And is there a pattern that I see here?
True. And, you know, the question about juicing, this all goes along the same line. When you're taking out the gluten, you're reducing a certain burden on the body. Mm-hmm. So anything you can do to get nutrition in without burdening the body, that's why juicing is very good. You get all those for some. I mean, not for everybody, but it's that line of thinking. How can I get this good stuff in and let the body absorb it?
Kelly, thanks for your question today. I agree. You're a good mom. And Andrew, you come on back next month.
Are we out of time?
Well, if you want to do fermentation for an hour, I guess we could have you back in a week or so. But no, next month you're going to be on with Jan Sylvia
is talking about principles of toxicology that relate to your relationships. I can't wait.
Bring your Thanksgiving Day questions and let us know how you do on Thanksgiving Day, too, with the overeating and with these five tips that you can get if you go online. Go to chrisfabrylive.org, click on the momsaware.org link, and then you'll see Uncle Henry and little Jimmy. Playing chess down there at the bottom. Andrea, you come on back.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Fabry Live's production of Moody Radio in Chicago, online at chrisfabrylive.org. Thanks a lot for listening.